The following KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories, which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
Radio Beyond Borders present We Are New Americans, a documentary on the lives of immigrants and refugees and asylees in Oregon, produced and presented by Mia Kim.
We came here to this country to work hard and look opportunity for our families, and now this country is closing the doors for our communities and to the opportunity for work.
I think that it's many people in America that get kind of helping immigrants, and say it's great, very important, because many people, when they come here, they feel isolated, they feel threatened by the situations, and they, most of them, had bad experience in their countries. So this kind of help, it's always good, because if people are nice to you, you always want to be nice to them.
For the American people, not to see refugees and immigrants as people are coming here to take their job, we came here to participate with them. And this country is built by immigrants. So the immigrants that came here 400 years ago or the immigrants that are just coming, they're all the same. They will do the same that those people came before them did. So they have to give a chance to the newcomers.
My name is Irina Sharkova, and I'm a research assistant professor at the Population Research Center at Portland State University. It's estimated that in 2005 there was about 303,000 foreign-born residents, so that would include all categories, documented and undocumented immigrants, asylees, and refugees. In 2000, there was, for comparison, there was about 290,000 of foreign-born residents in Oregon. And that constitutes about 9% of Oregon's population. The main sending region is Latin America, and Latin America sends about 45% of all foreign-borns. The second largest region is Asia, and among all foreign-born population in Oregon, 27% come from Asia. The third largest region is Europe, and that includes former Soviet Union. Estimated that about half of the foreign-born population in Oregon is undocumented, an estimate that it's probably 140,000 people altogether.
My name is Ibrahim Hamida. I was born and raised in Bethlehem in Palestine. I came here in the middle of 1969.
My name is Elena Hansen. I came to the United States in 1992 with a status refugee. And since then, it was a direct flight from St. Petersburg to Portland.
My name is Rhea Kimberling from the Philippines. I came in 1995.
My name is Romero. I'm from Mexico. I'm here in 1995. I entered for California.
My name is Karina. I came here at the end of 1997. I'm from Ukraine.
My name is Jimmy Dogo. I am from Chad. I came to the United States in June 99.
My name is Oksana, and I have been 6 years in the United States.
My name is Alicia Lopez. I came here maybe almost 5 years ago.
I came here to get a higher education, get a degree, and go help my family. The 1967 war, it's called the Six-Day War, had broken out 2 years prior to me coming here. I had strong belief that the situation will change. Things will get better, and my home will not be under occupation anymore. So I thought by the time I finish my degree, The United Nations will find a solution and a resolution to that conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and I can go back to my home, to a free home. But to my dismay and my sadness, the occupation continues as we speak. 39 years now. That's a major part of the reason why I stayed here. Because I really did not want to live in a nun-free environment.
I left my country because of religious persecution, and my husband was a Jewish gentleman, and I was concerned about the future for my son, who was 18 years old at that time.
Well, I came with my already ex-husband, and he had a family here, and also his family was persecuted in the Ukraine and the former Soviet Union.
As a human rights activist back in Chad, in 1998, the regime started mass killing. So in front of the European Union, I presented the case. So what we ask is to stop all assistance to the Chadian regime. So when we came back, the regime wasn't happy, and my secretary got killed. So the American embassy said, well, they cannot protect me. The only way is to get out of the country. That's how I came to America. Right now, as long as the regime is still there, I cannot go back to my country because I'm an asylum.
America have much opportunity. Maybe my Mexico no have it for me.
First, my husband came, him alone, for maybe a year and a half, almost 2 years. And he went back to Mexico, and for him was difficult to adapt again to the Mexico city, and said, oh gosh, here is so hard working, we never have a money, and I don't know what we need to do again. And he told me, Alicia, I need to go back to the United States again. And I said, oh no, if you leave, we need to divorce first. Oh, I need to go with you. And he said, you want to come with me? And I say, yes, I want to go with you and take my daughter too, because I was having my daughter. And we came here, and was hard to come here because we left the family, we left the friends or country.
I came to America on fantasy visa. I met with him by internet. I didn't have a computer in Russia, and my friends helped me. Russia is a huge and beautiful country. There were so many problems. It was a hard life in Russia for me. I don't want to talk about this subject because it just reminds me of hard life, and I don't want to remind. I don't want to remember this part of my life. I look for a different life, a good husband who could support me and help me, and I could support him too.
I was 17 turning to 18. My mom is here. She was here for like a long time, at least 15 years. And she's been wanting me to, you know, to come along over here, but the papers, it takes forever to finish. So is my sister.
In 1969, was the in Eugene, which is where I came to straight, was the hippie revolution, the hippie movement. And there were protests about the Vietnam War and free love and guitars and patchouli oil and freedoms, just a spiritual freedom and awakening. And it was a tremendous culture shock for me, because I came from a very different society, and I guess it was pretty different for the people that lived here. Even they were the hippies were not their favorite people. They were calling them a crazy generation, etc., etc. So I came from my home straight to this environment, and it was very exciting and very, and my eyes were as big as saucers. I was, you know, learning about everything. The university was paled in comparison. You know, there was so much more interesting things to learn in society in this new home than in the classroom.
It was a cultural shock, and of course a lot of stress. And I used to travel a lot because I worked at hotel management in St. Petersburg, but I never been in America, and my expectations, and I think many Russians or many immigrants from different countries have this expectation of America, like, you know, America needs to look like, let's say, like New York. And when I came here and I saw Portland, it's a cute city, but it's pretty small, and the life, it's very different here than I used to have in St. Petersburg. Because St. Petersburg, it's a very large city, very cultural city.
I like totally different culture, food, everything, especially sleeping habit. Because over here is daytime, back home it's nighttime, so for 3 months, like at night, I'm totally awake. During the daytime, I sleep. I have to adjust for that. And all the food, I don't eat. All the food that they have here is like, what are you eating? Like, you know, especially all this fresh food, like salads. It's like, ew, what are you eating? And, like, ask my mom, like, what is that? Like, why are you eating some raw food? Like, isn't that your stomach make, you know, give you upset stomach? Like, no, I get used to it. Like, want to try? Like, nope. It's hard. The whole 3 months is like, I eat just top ramen noodles. Even though we make our food, still doesn't taste the same. I don't know what it is. I was like, oh my goodness, I look like crying all night long. Because I want to go home. Because that's all in my head, is just, I want to go back home. Because I miss my culture, so. I like, Mom, I want to go home. It's like, I'm paying for my ticket, I'm going home. I was like, well, it's up to you. It's like, well, I'm going to try. But a year later, I did went back by myself.
Most difficult when you don't know, if you not speak English, you don't have any friends, and you have zero on your account, and you don't know how to open account, and you don't know how to speak, and you don't know any name of street. Just like a child, like a baby.
I remember you have only $10 for cruising. For return for Mexico City, no have money. Now they enter in California, had different opportunities for work. I work for in the roofing, in the yards, and landscaping, and different the dishwasher, the everything.
In Mexico, only the wife need to be at home, but here we want to look other ways, other lives, and work outside the home. And this is hard also for our husbands, because they say, when you came to home and the wife is not there, they say, oh, where is my wife? The house is messy, the kids are crying, and it's crazy. And also it's a system who we need to adapt in our families. For me and the personal was hard. I was taking a therapist with my husband for adapt to the system here, because I never was working before, and here I am working, and I need to work the 30 or 40 hours a week, and he need to work too. And he was crazy, and me too, because it's different system. It's so different, and also we were thinking about the divorce.
It was a little bit difficult, but you know, when you're 19 years old, you know, you're so anxious to learn new things and to adapt to new environments. It's a natural thing for a young man to want to be on his own at that time. You know, I miss my family a lot, but also it was really exciting for me to be in a new environment, new country, meet new people, make new friends. That was all exciting, and I'm a friendly kind of person, so it was really easy for me to make friends.
It was pretty hard because I lost my social status. I used to work in St. Petersburg and hotel management. I was a manager there. And here, I was nobody. I couldn't find employment because I didn't speak English and I didn't have, appropriate skills. And I had to take, any employment opportunities they came to, on my way. And because I came as a refugee, I had a program for 8 months. They supported me. It was very limited financial support, but it was enough for a few months, kind of to adjust to a new country. And then after 3 months, I started to work as a banquet server for 1 month. And then I realized, I have to go to college. I need to study English and also other skills like computer skills. What I had, it was zero. And I went to college, and besides college, I had some kind of, few jobs that helped me to support myself.
At the beginning, it was really hard. I couldn't find any job when I came here, because they said I don't have American work experience. So what I decided to go back to PCC Cascade to start everything from beginning. But even though I have bachelor degree in French and English, they want me to start with ENL, English as a non-native language. And I refused because it's going to waste my time. After that, when I started working, 4 years later, I went to PSU, met with an advisor. I said, you just need a couple of credit to get a bachelor degree in America, because the French system is different from American system. So I took a couple of classes, then I get a bachelor degree in art and letters.
I remember that day when I came to his house, and like oh, this is not really clean house. It was so small house. That house was need repair. But it's okay. But the most important person, the person was different, not that person who write letter to me. He just was a different person. That was big surprise for me. When I saw him and I started live with him, and I understood, wow, he's different. He's not that person who write letter to me. That was a big surprise. Big surprise. Plus, you don't know anybody in this country. You don't know your neighbors. You don't have friends. You don't have relatives. Just by yourself. And how you can live, how you support your child, how you support yourself.
I worked those two jobs to save money in order to bring my family. And then my family came in November 2001. After September 11, it was hard for immigrants to come to America, but with the help of my lawyer and the Senator Gordon Smith, we pushed it, and my family was, I think, the only immigrant family or refugees family that came after September 11. And I worked those two jobs to pay the ticket. It cost almost $4,000 to bring my family here.
Work hard, but basically it's just like a competition when you're working with different people. You don't gain anything because a lot of bills to pay.
For me, I have maybe here in the United States 11 years. The all time work. All time I paid the medical, I paid the food, I paid my rent, I paid my life, phone, everything. I come here for a United government have a benefits, have a money, have a food, have a everything. Okay, help me. No.
During the Iranian crisis, when they had the hostages in Iran, you know, there are many people who looked at me as a possible enemy or a bad guy. You know, a few instances when I was called names and go back to your country, and some guys wanted to beat me up a few times. And so I heard all those racial slurs and insults and so on. I have been active in the community, especially on peace issues between the Israelis and Palestinians. So I set myself up, you know, to where everybody can come and hear what I say, what we discuss. So, and after 2001, I had people throw bricks in my restaurant window, and, you know, somebody threw a smoke bomb inside and so on. So I didn't take it so personally. It's just that they're mad at, you know, at the Muslims, and they take it out on me, although I'm a complete 100% advocate of peace. Always, before 2001, for many years, that's my record. Those guys don't know me personally. They just, you know, find somebody who's Arab or American or Muslim who lives in America, and they take it out on them.
Some of them are just offended by your look, you know? Yeah, or like when you go to the mall, right? There's like a whole bunch of group of like young women. They just like say like a common things, you know? Probably they're just offended because the way, you know, you carry yourself and just the way you look. If they're with a group of other, you know, just being, I don't know, you call it stupid, or they always have something to say to other female. It's like, excuse you, it's like, what are you looking at? You know, it's like, just some weird stuff to make you, you know, to offend you. Or just stare at you up and down and like just make some like really weird noise, and like, you know, or something like they always sometimes like use the cuss word too.
The situation was different and a little bit difficult for me because he's abused me emotionally. He likes me to keep a home, to be me, always status him. I can't go work, I can't go to college, can't go to church. He likes me to stay at home. It was a difficult time.
All time I paid my taxes for no usage benefit. I have my tax, my IRS number. All time is to report my kids, report my everything. But now my problem is I don't have papers for warfare. And I have like 5-7 years the painting building, painting house, painting everything.
We came here to this country to work hard and look opportunity for our families. And now this country is closing the doors for our communities and to the opportunity for work. And is they say that like the proposal Sesenbrenner said that we are a criminal, but we don't. We are people who want a work. We are looking for best lives for our kids, and I think for me and my case and for my community, that is what we are looking here. And sometimes the people said we came to take the things for the black people, but also they need to know that we came here to work and work hard and take the jobs who know, or the hard jobs like cleaning or then the farmers, and it's hard.
When I came, the African don't have like an organization that work for African and try to help African here. The only organization that African that came here referred to is IRCO, Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization. And until June 2000, we created the first African organization that trying to bring people together, which is we did not work out. And then now we have a lot of African organization try to bring African together and try to connect with African American so that we can get help, because they are American, they've been here a long time, they know which door to knock in order to help us. So we are working on having a connection and working together with African American community. A lot of African American church help refugees, especially African refugees that are coming here. And not only working with African American communities, we are trying to work also with other communities, like Asian communities, because they've been here before us and they have a lot of experience. So we can benefit from their experience, how they did to succeed in this country. So we are connecting with all the immigrant and refugee community organizations so that we can better our community too.
Especially culture. I missed it, yeah. Even now, I was like, I wish I can go back. Just visit, you know. I can afford it. Being a single mom, it's hard, yep.
When I'm asked, do you like life here? Do you like America? I always say yes, of course. But what I appreciate a lot, that I can keep my culture, preserve my culture, my history, my language, and I just, you know, enjoy and benefit of two cultures. And what I say, what I say about this country and people who live here, that people are very friendly, extremely friendly, and it's very encouraging.
My first and important goal was learn English. For me, also, it's so important now in this time continue with my daughter's teaching the Spanish language. And we in our house only speak Spanish because I don't want them lose the language. I think it's so important. And also, if I have opportunity to teach other people my own language. For example, now I am giving a Spanish class for the American people.
On March 17th, there's a big Irish community in Boston that goes out and parades in the streets and, you know, Scandinavian fairs and all those minorities, Cinco de Mayos. They enrich our culture. They bring so much wealth of wisdom and hard work and ethics, and they contribute so much.
I think that it's many people in America that get kind of helping immigrants, and say it's great, very important, because many people, when they come here, they feel isolated, they feel threatened by the situations, and they most of them had bad experience in their countries. So this kind of help, it's always good, because if people are nice to you, you always want to be nice to them.
Most people that are armed with knowledge versus fear, they appreciate the difference. They appreciate the accent. They appreciate that you are coming to a country that you barely speak their language, but you're still brave enough to come and want to learn. And you know, look at, you know, most foreigners, you go somewhere and you put a microphone in front of somebody and they speak English, even in their native country. Americans, you put a microphone in front of them and they only speak English. So they're a single one language country. While look at this foreigner who's coming here who speaks Spanish originally but now is learning another language. They should applaud that. They should be proud of it, not discriminate against it.
For the American people, not to see refugees and immigrants as people that are coming here to take their job. We came here to participate with them. And this country is built by immigrants. So the immigrants that came here 400 years ago or the immigrants that are just coming, they're all the same. They will do the same that those people came before them did. So they have to give a chance to the newcomers, give them chance for employment or education, not to think that those people don't speak English, they will not be able to do this job. Refugees and immigrants are hard workers and are people that when you trust them, they stay long, they keep employment for long. They are not people that will change employment like the next 3 weeks or the next 3 months. Immigrant and refugee, as long as the employer treat them well, they will keep their job as long as possible. And they're really, really, really honest people and hard workers. So give them a chance and try them out and see what they can do.
And this is the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. Mia Kim was just awarded the Catherine Davenport Award for Women's News by WINGS, the Women's International News Gathering Service. She received this award at the National Conference of Community Broadcasters, which was held in Portland last week. You're listening, as I said, to the Thursday Morning Radio Zine for Thursday, April 27th. Coming up next on KBOO, Julie Focus. Julie Bernard hosts Art Focus, and she speaks with local painter Peggy Prusak Collins and also with Deborah Shapiro from the Ceramics Showcase 2006. I want to make an announcement that KBOO needs your help to mail out our monthly listener guide. We really need some help. We've got a couple mailings going on. It's going to be intense, and it's looking like, you know, we got three people in there, including myself. So you need to come on down to KBOO and maybe get some pizza if you hurry up and get down here before noon and help us with our mailer. We're at 20 Southeast 8th. If you want some information about how to get here, it's 503-231-8032, where we hope to wrap up about 4 p.m. So please get on down here and help us. After Art Focus at 11 on Democracy Now!, John Dean and Daniel Ellsberg speak on Watergate and the abuse of presidential power from Nixon to Bush and a look at the life and death of a renowned Mexican human rights lawyer. And next, Art Focus.